wasn't the internet working this morning is because I'm going to talk about the devil. And so every time you talk about the devil, something goes wrong, something doesn't work, and it just seems to be that way. So I'm saying that's why it wasn't working right for us this morning. Anyway, so I want to talk about a time to be strong in Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. They're fairly familiar verses of Scripture, but they're reminding us that our fight is not just flesh and blood. There's battles that we face that are far beyond the natural. And that's what I want to talk about here this morning. So Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Father, we just pray your blessing on your word here today. And we pray that, Lord, there would be an enlightenment for some people that are going through some difficult battles right now. That, Lord, that they would see that it's more than just a physical thing or an earthly thing. But, Lord, that there's a interference that is coming in heavenly realms. And that's not from you, Lord, but from the devil. And so, Lord, we're just praying for some insight today in Jesus' name, revelation today in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to share with you about standing strong in our faith and standing strong for one another. You know, we are living in days when there's just so many things that are going on, so much activity and spiritual realms that are going on, that we as Christians, we need to remain strong, supporting, and encouraging one another. And as a church and as a body of believers, we've been experiencing some pretty awesome things. And we're seeing our church really enter into another time of growth. And throughout the years, you know, we've seen times where we really grew, and then we've seen times when we kind of plateaued, then we've seen times where people were moving away, and now we're back in that place where we're seeing those times of growth. And that's a good thing. But the good part over all those years is that we have remained strong and that you know, we've been consistent. And so we're really entering another place of growth, and I really believe that God is desiring to do an explosion of growth. I really do. And I believe that's at hand. And I really pray, trust that you've been sensing that, you know, there's something different. There's something different that's happening. There's like a stirring that's happening even in our church services. And even today, just feeling the Spirit of God, he's up to something. He may not be revealing everything that he's going to do, but I trust that you're sensing the Spirit of the Lord is moving and stirring our hearts. And we really believe that there is an explosion of growth that is at hand. And I know personally that I've been having more and more opportunities to talk with people about God and about church. And I also see that people have been experiencing greater things from God, some greater revelations, creating new boldness in people's lives, seeing people come to faith and experiencing wonderful testimonies, just like we had here this morning. That wasn't planned, by the way, that he just wanted to share today, and of what God is doing and how God is changing people's lives. And I really believe we are at a tipping point of seeing the greatest harvest of people coming to faith in Christ before the return of Christ. That's what I really believe. Now, last week we had this regional youth gathering from the Lakeland, and you know, it was really wonderful to see hungry youth entering in and worshiping the Lord. They had a worship service before they had the rock concert. And in that worship service, man, our kids were really entering in, and this whole front area was just filled with people praising the Lord. And as I'm watching that and I'm observing that, I'm saying, oh, man, I think our whole congregation needs to be seeing this. And I want to encourage you that when we have major events like that, check it out. Come on out and just see what God is doing. And to see all those young people worshiping the Lord and crying out to God, it was really wonderful. And then you know, our speaker said that when he gave a call for salvation, that approximately 50 people put up their hands for salvation. There was about 150 people there. One third responded to Christ saying, I want to receive Jesus Christ in my life. That's a big deal. Imagine if today, at the end of this service, we had 50 people to say, I want to serve Jesus Christ today. That'd be pretty exciting. Well, that was exciting on that Saturday night. And really been impressed by the number of our youth and their desire and changes that they're making in their lives. There's some powerful testimonies that can come from our young people. And I heard a great one there last week. But some God is doing some wonderful, wonderful things in the lives of our young people. Another interesting thing that happened last Saturday morning, a man that was passing through St. Paul, he's never been in St. Paul in his life, and he called me up and he asked if he could meet with me for a coffee. And to be honest with you, I didn't really want to do that because we were supposed to be here at the church and there were things we had to help set up for that youth meeting. And I just said, oh, well, I'll do it anyways. And so we met for that coffee. We met first here at the church. And he barely got out of the car. And as he came to me, he said, you know, as I was driving in your town, I was coming from this direction. And as I was coming in, and all of a sudden I see your church. He said, I just felt that God has an apostolic anointing for your church and for your community. And he went on to talk about, he said, you know, there was a well, and that well, things got thrown into the well. And he said, I see that God is pulling those things out of the well, that there might be a harvest that would come forth for you that would be so great of explosion of souls that would come to Christ. And then he got talking about other things in the community, and when I kind of took him down to a business place, and he prayed with those folks as well. But, you know, God is stirring people's hearts. And you know, you can say, oh, that was just a coincidence. And I got thinking afterwards, well, you know, when he was talking about an explosion of souls, I'm thinking like, well, that very day there was 50 people. That's an explosion of souls. Well, I believe it's going to be far greater than that. And so it's interesting that God would just lay that on somebody's heart, never been here before. I really don't know them that well. And yet they wanted to stop by and do that. Actually, he's going to share his testimony, I believe, in December. Is it Mike? I think. He's going to, that same gentleman is going to share his testimony of full gospel. But anyway, God is doing things. And if you haven't noticed, there's been more and more people that you sometimes don't know who they are. And you're sitting in church and you're kind of saying, oh, I wonder who they are. I don't know who they are. And you never got to meet them. And there has been new people. I noticed last week when we put out some extra rows, and we do still have those extra rows out, they had to put more rows out. And, you know, we are seeing more and more new people come, and we welcome you. If you're a new person, we welcome you, and we love to have you, and we believe that God is calling you here and that God has something very big for you to be a part of. And certainly that's been a wonderful thing. Even in regards to prayer, just been observing that more and more people seem to be coming out for prayer and praying, seeking the Lord. I know we have some prayer meetings in businesses here in town. We've got some prayer meetings that happen in homes. We have a prayer meeting here that happens on Wednesday nights. And even in that group, we've been seeing a much larger group of people and just observing the boldness that they've been praying and seeing answers to those prayers. And I know that's always been a strength in this church. There's always been some great praying people, and we rejoice in that. I found it rather interesting there. One of them shared a vision that they had. And They were sharing, even though they were in pain that night, they came to our prayer meeting, which to me, that's a big deal. If you're in pain, that you would still come to church. Like, how many of us can use a much finer excuse to not come to church? But they were in pain, but they came to church anyway. Actually, there was two people that were in pain that night and came to church. But one of them, they shared, they said, you know, I had this dream, Pastor. And in that dream, I was at the front of the church and praying. And as I turned around, I saw the whole church was full of people praying. And so imagine if this was our Wednesday night prayer meeting and that we were looking around and this was our prayer meeting, everybody here. That would tell us that God is up to something. God is wanting to do big things. And even when you have speakers in church, and just like this speaker we had at our youth and that spoke last Sunday, I always enjoy having speakers because they're not expecting what they get when they come here. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people say about rural communities and rural pastors. And so sometimes people can come in here and thinking, you know, we're a bunch of hillbillies or something, or that nothing's going to happen here. And every time they always talk to me after and say, I can't believe the response of people here. I can't believe how people welcome you here. And they sense the Spirit of God here. And to me, well, doesn't that happen everywhere? And obviously it doesn't. But they're talking about you. They're testifying of you, of how you enter in and how you worship the Lord. And again, that is a good thing. And so there's definitely a moving of the Holy Spirit. And He's stirring our hearts. And good things are happening. And things are happening in our youth and our kids and our older saints and in every age group. And I really sense that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do a greater work in all of us. And we really need to treasure that, protect that. And that's why I want to speak about this, that we might be strong in our faith. Because anytime you start seeing a move of God starting to take place, there's an enemy that likes to come in and try to kill it, squash it, and destroy it. And so that ain't going to happen. And so we're here today just to encourage you, be strong. Be strong on this time, and you will see the wonders of God. And as we bind ourselves together and love on one another, and not allow that enemy to come in any way, not allow him to have a foothold in our lives, we are going to see some pretty awesome, awesome things. Now, the early church there, not everything is always good in church. Sometimes church go through battle. Sometimes there's things happen in churches. And the Ephesian church was really feeling the pressure as they were spreading the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul, he comes along and he shares with them that, you know, there are some things you need to be aware of. Because so often we measure everything in the natural. And of course, well, that's who we are. We're natural beings, human beings. So we often, you know, go through everything and try to have understanding and bring it down into our human thinking. And so Paul's trying to tell the congregation, listen, there's another area that affects you, and that's a spiritual realm. And that there is a spiritual realm, and you will face a real enemy, and he strategizes against you, and his strategies are always with a purpose to destroy you. And so if you're going through a battle right now, I want you to realize that that battle is not just physical. There's a spiritual part to that of which you also need to address. And so that's what we're going to look at here this morning. And I hope that this here will be helpful to you and maybe give you an insight of where maybe the enemy has been trying to come against you. Well, first of all, it's time to be strong, because we need to realize that there are strategies of the devil that are out there, and he is our true enemy. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. See, the devil is an expert of strategy. And if you don't think so, well, just think about the whole fact of why there is a devil, where pride came in, where rebellion came in, and he convinced a third of the heavenly angels to abandon God. Just that in itself should tell us that, you know, we have a foe out there that is very powerful and very deceptive and has strategies that often will work to bring people to that place where they will turn against God. So he is an expert in that area of strategy. He's a real foe. He's not a figment of our imagination. You know, he's not some little devil that sits in your shoulder and whispers things in your ears, although he does like to whisper things in your ears, but he's not some tiny little creature that we often put him in cartoons of some small figure. He's a very large figure, and he is a real foe that can be resisted, can be defeated, but we need to realize that in between that process, sometimes there's a battle that takes place. So he's not a figment of our imagination. He's very active in our world, big time, especially today, because he recognized, just as the Bible says, his time is short. And as he recognizes that time is getting shorter and shorter, well, then he starts to pour out even more. There's a lot of warnings in scriptures about that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." He makes lots of noise. But his purpose is to get you confused, deceived, and to destroy you. He's constantly looking for opportunities to capitalize and take advantage of us. He's the author of fear. He's the author of panic. He's the author that does make lots of noise, and he desires to destroy each and every one of us. Jesus himself, he warns us of the influence of the devil in our world as well. John 10:10, he says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy." And, you know, as you look at that, we see a lot of that in our world today. A lot of stealing, a lot of killing, a lot of destruction, a lot of lives are being lost. That's his desire for our world. That's his plan that he wants to do. So the devil's strategy and purpose is to look for opportunities to steal, look for opportunities to kill, look for opportunities to destroy. And, you know, as you think about that, I think about that word destroy. It's in there a lot about the devil. It's one of the key words that talks about the devil. He wants to destroy. He's not a friend. He's not someone you should trust. He's not someone that, oh, well, there's some power over here, I'm going to seek him out. His purpose for you is destruction. And you need to be careful of that and stay away from that. While Jesus is saying, "I will give you a rich and a satisfying life." So the devil's purpose is to deceive you, trap you, destroy you. Be aware of him and be aware of his strategies. The Bible says he masquerades as an angel of light. And he can even deceive the very best of Christians at times. And so he has lots of tricks in his bag that he will use. And again, if he can deceive angels of heaven, he can deceive us if we're not careful. So the Apostle Paul, in rebuking the devil, or actually in rebuking a sorcerer here, spoke of further characteristics and strategies of the devil as he was referring to this sorcerer, that, "Sir, you are a son of the devil." And this is what the devil does. Acts 13:10. "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud and enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord?" I think that's a great description of the devil. He's really good at deceiving people, causing them to believe a lie or causing them to believe another gospel that is not the gospel at all. He's very good at deceiving people. And, you know, sometimes people will start following some of these other gospels. They still think they're okay. "Oh, I'm still a Christian." In reality, no, they're not. They've really actually have abandoned the faith because they've been deceived to believe a lie that holds some scripture. The devil will always use scripture, even in the temptation of Jesus. What is he trying to do? He's using scripture, trying to tempt Jesus. But Jesus, knowing the true scriptures, was able to rebuke him and shows unto us one of the ways that we can rebuke the devil as well is hold on to the scripture. So the devil, he's the author of perversion. He perverts the truth. He perverts a lot of things in life. There's a lot of perversion in our world. And the author of that, of course, is the devil. And he tries his best to deceive people to live a life in a perverted way. So again, you need to be careful to what the world is saying and all these voices out there and talking about lifestyles and things of that nature, saying, oh, you should do this or you should do that. You need to follow what the Bible says and not be deceived to believe a lie where the devil is behind it. So the devil loves to pervert truth, and he does it all the time. And he even knows the Bible, and he will use it. He will distort it. He will pervert it so that people will believe a lie instead of the truth. You know, back to the book of John, we see another description of who the devil is. John 8:44 says, "For you are children of your father, the devil." He was speaking of the Pharisees. And he says, "You love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And here the devil is referred to as a murderer. He is a spirit behind murders that are happening. And so when people are contemplating murder, there's a spirit that will come upon them from the devil to do those things. The devil is also a hater of the truth. And that is why you see so many people today hostile to Christianity. I think one of the latest things is out there that they're not to pray at remembrance services. That's what the government is telling us not to do. Do not pray. Like, it's just crazy, the things that are happening around us. But there's an enemy that is out there that's behind all these things. And he's a liar. And he's so good at it that a lot of people start believing lies and calling it truth, because that's what he does. Lies do so much damage to people. And even in church situations, the spreading of lies causes a lot of damage. A lot of churches have been destroyed because of lies. And so if you're tempted to spread some gossip and lies, realize that you're aligning yourself with the devil, not with God, but you're aligning yourself with the devil. That's not a good place to be. He is the king of offense. He knows how to set us up to believe lies instead of truth. And, I didn't get to shake a lot of people's hands today. I only got partway down. And so don't be offended that I didn't get to shake your hand this morning, because sometimes that happens with people, and the enemy will come along whispering there, see, he doesn't like you. He didn't come and shake your hand. You're not appreciated in this church, so he didn't even come close to you. And that's what the devil will do. And surprisingly, sometimes that does happen. And we do respond to that, and we start thinking, yeah, that's right, that's right. I think that's right. We need to be careful of all those things. The whisperer that is out there, we need to be listening to what the Lord is saying and how he's saying. And so one of the best weapons that destroys churches before false doctrine and pride is usually a lot of lies that people speak. Remember, the devil is a fraud, a masquerader, a deceiver, a manipulator, a tempter, a cunning serpent, and a hater of all that is good. And, you know, you look at the world and all the hatred that is in our world. You look at the wars that are going on. A lot of it's all about hatred. They hate one another. And who's behind that? Well, the enemy of our soul is behind that. And we need to realize that he is at work. So beware of the work and strategies of the devil. We need to be strong. We need to be ready for those temptations. We need to be ready for those influences and those attacks that can come from him, that we may not fall. Do not allow the devil even a foothold, the Bible says, to create havoc or division in our lives or in our churches. Let us be strong and let's support one another. Now, secondly, in standing strong, we need to be aware of the devil's realm. The devil does have areas of limited authority, and he does have a third of the fallen angels with him, and they partner with him in the attempt to destroy all that is good. Now, thankfully, there's more angels than there are devils, or more demons, and so we rejoice in that. But we still need to realize that there is heavenly interference that does take place from our enemy. And so he operates with his fallen angels in spiritual realms, atmospheres, regions, and can have stronghold areas where evil prospers. Ephesians 6:12, it tells us that this is very true. Sometimes we don't think that this is real, or I don't believe all that stuff. That's a bunch of baloney. No, it's what the Bible says. It says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The Word of God tells us that this is so. And so if that kind of comes against your mind and say, oh, I don't believe in that, well, it's what the Bible says. We need to. I like the Passion Translation of this verse. It says, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For there are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. And again, a lot of people think that's all fantasy. Oh, there's no devil. There's no demons. They're just those. They're just cartoon figures. You know, they really don't exist. And that's really so far from the reality of who the devil is and who these fallen angels are. They do have order. They do have authority. They do have power in different realms. And they're very active in the spiritual realms. That does affect the physical realm in which we live. Now, we may not see it with our human eye, but the Bible is very clear that there is activity and influence going on every day from that realm. So our battles are not just on a physical plane, they're also on a spiritual plane. Now the purpose in the Apostle Paul telling this is not to scare us. Please don't be scared as we talk about the devil or talk about these things, but it's simply to help us to recognize that there is activity in this realm and to recognize who our real enemy is. You know, the other purpose is also for us to look beyond people and situations and to look to a spiritual reason that's behind what we may be going through. And that has happened to me a few times now where God has given me a vision to show me what was really taking place. And some years back, I had this vision. It was a very long vision, which I'm not going to share it all with you, but just the last tiny part of it. And anyway, God took me in this vision into hell. And I went to various levels of hell till I finally came to this place where there was this massive hall and all these round tables as far as the eye could see, with demons around every table. And the thing that was kind of scary at that point was I ended up standing on one of those tables where I got to hear them. They were talking about me. And as I heard about them, they suddenly recognized that I was there, and they weren't too happy about that, and they asked me, how did I get there? Well, I don't know. This is just a vision, so I don't know how it was all going on at that time. But they weren't too happy, and as they reached for me, suddenly I was taken up, and I was gone from there. And how did that help me? How did that vision help me? It was much more detailed than that, but that was kind of the final part of what God wanted to show me. And what he was trying to show me was, don't be looking at the people, but look at what's happening in the spiritual realm. If you're going to be praying about something, go attack the root and not the people. And I think God is often telling us that as well, that, you know, sometimes our eyes get focused on all the things in the natural. And we start getting offenses. We start getting upset with things. We get upset with people and all those kinds of things. And the Lord's trying to say, you need to go beyond what you're seeing in the natural to a spiritual realm where there's been a strategy that's been sent forth for you to discourage you and to take you out of the race. And so if you're having a battle today, or you're going through a battle, and you know maybe you're just stuck on the situation, you're stuck on the problem, you're stuck on the diagnosis, you're stuck on that person, maybe you're even stuck on that it's your spouse. Well, you need to start addressing, look beyond that into a spiritual realm, that there's been a strategy that's been made by those demonic spirits against you, and start praying against that area. So in that unseen world, the Bible says there's evil rulers, there's principalities, there's fallen angels, demons, spirits, authorities in heavenly places. Again, they have limited authority, but still they have authority just the same. And some have power over areas and princes over areas. One of the visions I had this spring was I got to meet that principality over this area. There are principalities over this area. And again, it was in a vision, a Sunday morning vision just before I came to church. And In that vision, I was standing at the front of the church, and I looked up, and those guys in the sound room were really good, but he was sitting on top where the sound room is on that ledge. Very large demon. And I knew in my spirit that he was the principality of this whole area. And as I saw that, the things that were going through my mind was like, you can't be serious. Like, really? That there's a principality? Like, I'm just a royal pastor here. Like, don't you read all the things they say about royal pastors and royal churches? You know, we're not some mega church. Why would you be interested in us? Again, coming back to there's a stirring of the Holy Spirit that God is wanting to do bigger things, that we even have their attention. But anyway, as I kind of thought that, I said, well, I think it's time for me to go home. And I left the church. I went outside, and I turned around, and then he was on the peak, very large. And then as I was trying to go to my vehicle, he then stood in front of me. And, you know, they're not those little creatures there. They're very big creatures. And when I was standing in front of him, I came up to about here on him. And as I stood in front, I could see that this angel is ribbed. He is very, very strong. And I thought to myself, how am I ever supposed to defeat this demon? I had a few other stupid thoughts as well until finally it came like, Jesus, call in the name of Jesus. And then call the name of Jesus and he left. But that morning I knew it's something I had to do as they came to church was to come against that principality because you ain't going to be sitting in our church, buddy. You're not going to interfere with us. This church has been dedicated to God. This land has been dedicated to God. These people are out there serving the Lord. You are not welcomed here. And that's what I was doing one morning before we came to church when we were making coffee. I said, Judy, you better go in and make coffee because I need to address somebody outside here to get rid of that character. But, you know, that might sound a little bit on a crazy side to you, but the Bible says that. There will be things that we'll have to face. There is a spiritual realm that we will have to face and deal with. And we don't always see it with the natural eye. Most times we don't. And I think it's a good thing. I don't think it would be good for us to see all the things that are happening in that spiritual realm every day, because it probably would terrify you. But God will give us a glimpse sometimes through a vision. Sometimes even you'll see it in the natural. If you talk to some of the people that are on front lines in our world today, they'll see it in the natural. They can see it right in front of them. Or if you want to talk to some of our Aboriginal people, they are very, very good in identifying things in spiritual realms. They really are. There's a gift, no doubt about it, that they have that they can often see that realm or sense that something is taking place in a spiritual realm. That spiritual realm, you know, includes witchcraft and sorcery and idol worship, ancestral worship, curses, occultic rituals, spirits, demons, evil people, all those things. But again, the point is not for us to fear that, but just to help us realize that your battles are not always flesh and blood people, but there's things that are happening in spiritual realms, and that realm can be under the area of Satan, where we need to be praying, interceding, and coming against those realms, going to the root to defeat that strategy that was, you know, designed by those demons as they got together trying to destroy you, to come against that area. So it's not a thing to be fearful of, but rather a thing to be wise to, that we can be praying against those areas. And I really believe here this morning there's some folks that you've been going through some quite unusual battles, and that should be a signal to you as well, that if a battle continues and is not breaking, then that's more than just people. There's something behind it. And you need to come against those spiritual strategies, those beings that are trying to destroy you, and start praying against the influence of those spirits. So that's something that we need to be doing. And the last part we want to talk about here is about defeating the devil. So some things that we can do that we can defeat the devil. And as Paul is telling us and identifying these realms, again, it's not to scare us, but rather to help us realize that there's a battle that takes place that many times is beyond just human beings. There's something spiritual taking place, and you need to be praying against that, going to that root. One of the first things he talks about here is really most important point. We have Jesus. We have the champion on our side. We have the Almighty with us. We're a child of God. We've been born again into God's family. We've been covered by the blood of Jesus. We're carrying authority to address those devils. And that's a huge plus, just having Jesus in your life. That's a wonderful place to be because he is the Almighty, and he is able to defeat the enemy. And he's already a victor. He's already our champion. And so that's who he is. I like the Passion translation of this passage of Scripture as it speaks about that armor and the fact that we have Jesus. And I kind of like just the way it describes it. So verses 6, 10, and 11 says, "Now, my beloved ones, I've saved the most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus." I like that part right there. Get supernaturally infused with strength, with power, through your union with Jesus Christ. Through that relationship with Jesus, there's a power that can come, an anointing that can come. We talked about that the other week, talking about the Holy Spirit, how he can anoint us with power. And, well, that's what God does. You got Jesus. So stand victorious, it goes on to say, with the force of this explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so you'll be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. So we're not just to sit back and let the devil do his work. We're to fight against that. We're to stand up for our churches. We're to stand up for one another. We're to stand up for our communities. We're to stand up for our regions. We're to stand up for our nation and to be praying against all the strategies of the evil one. Goes on to say this, because of this, again, this here is a paraphrase, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as a protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as you wrap around shield, for it is able to distinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword, spirit, of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit, as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times, pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. So to defeat the devil, you need to be strong. And how you become strong is by staying in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Work at your relationship with Jesus. You know, just don't come and say, oh, I've opened up my heart. I've welcomed Jesus in my life. Keep pursuing him. Keep getting close to him. Keep drawing close to him. And there will be an empowerment that are in your life that will help you to defeat all the strategies of the devil. So you need to work at building your faith. Just as an athlete trains before every race, so we need to keep training, building ourselves up that we might be in fitness with Jesus. And when we get into that battle, especially a difficult one, may encourage you, you know, drop off all the extra activities. You know, we are so busy today, and, you know, there's... I know we have that freedom to do things, and that's wonderful. But when you get in a real battle, you need to put aside all that other stuff. And you need to seek the Lord, take time with the Lord, because you need to defeat that enemy. And if you're just going to keep going around, and, you know, we get that a lot of times. Hey, Pastor, can you pray for me? I always remember this one gentleman, Pastor, pray for me. I want to quit smoking. I said, okay, we'll pray for you. And we pray for him, and he made it as far as the doors. And lit up a cigarette, and I'm feeling like, okay, that's not quite how it works. Like, you're supposed to agree as we pray together and that you're going to try as well, that you're going to defeat this enemy yourself and put some work into it as well. Well, we all need to do that. We need to do that. That's important. And so we need to take that faith seriously and drop off any activity. If we're in a real battle, just get close to Jesus. Start beginning to seek him, pray. Good time to be fasting and praying that you might come against the enemy. So if you're in a real bad battle, I'm telling you, get rid of everything else and just seek the Lord. Get close to him. That's what's going to give you the victory. So when your faith is secure, you'll have no fear and you will be strong. You'll stand against the enemy. You'll be able to put on that armor, that starting off with the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word of God, your truth of your experience with Jesus. It's always good to remind the devil that, hey, I am the Lord's. I gave my heart to Jesus. So you don't have authority over me anymore. I belong to him. Put on that breastplate of righteousness and holiness and, you know, protect the heart. Guard your heart. Very important thing. Keep serving the Lord. Keep pursuing. Put on the peace that comes from God. God can give you a peace even in the midst of a storm. And be alert to that. Know what you believe. Hold to what you believe. Use a shield of faith. Build up your faith. Allow the Lord to increase that faith. And that faith can put out those flaming arrows of the evil one, because he likes to throw those darts, likes to shoot those arrows at you to try to penetrate and find a resting place in you. Put on your salvation. Again, keep reminding the devil whose child you are. I'm not yours, devil. So get lost. I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. That's your salvation. And use that, and that'll help you also rebuke thoughts that come into your mind as well. And then, you know, we come to the weapons. So we're not just to sit back and let the enemy do things. We're to fight against him. One of those ways we fight him is with the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires." And so the Bible is one of the best weapons that we have. And Jesus himself, when he was tempted by the devil, what did Jesus do? He could have used his power, but he didn't. Instead, he kept quoting the word of God and defeated the devil in his time of temptation. It's one of the best weapons that we have. Get into the word, know the word, study the word, keep reading the word. If you're too busy that you don't have time to read the word of God, you're too busy. And you need to change some things to get yourself right with God and to be able to that place where you can be strong with the Lord. Then the next weapon is prayer. Prayer is so important. Sometimes, again, we can get slack in that area. You know, oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time to pray. You need to make time to pray. You really do. Because that's an important way that we can defeat the enemy. So as we pray, we move not just things in the natural. We move things in spiritual realms as well. You know, I was thinking this week of when we were on this land and we were praying one night. We'd already dedicated, but we were praying that. And we just went out there with a group of people and we just started to pray over that land and coming against every form of attack that may be coming from, you know, things of the past or whatever. And the difference that made. But prayer makes a difference physically and spiritually. It affects both realms. And so we need to be praying. There was a Facebook post there I saw not that long ago. And it was talking about all the things we see wrong in our world right now. And this happening, that's happening, and that happening. And kind of the response is, well, the world needs to get their act together. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with people today? And we can easily all go there. But the reminder was, what does the Bible says? If my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Not the world, but if we would start to pray, we can change our world. We can change the reality that is happening around us, even in this region. And you know, right now, this region is considered one of the most violent and most crimes in all of Alberta. We can change that. If God's people, not the world, if God's people will get together and start praying, we can break that power and turn this around to this being the very best place in all of Alberta. And I think we need to be praying that. The devil can be defeated. His realm can come crashing down if we would get together as the people of God and pray and seek his face. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, friends. There is advancement that's taking place. We want that to keep going forward. We want to keep praying. We want to keep seeking the Lord, because greater things God has for each and all of us. And so this morning, I hope this kind of resonates with you. But more important than anything, I just want to encourage you, we need to protect ourselves. Protect ourselves. Man, God is doing some really neat things right now. Amazing things right now. And even for myself, I'm finding that a simple thing as a step to my right or a step to my left. That happened to me this week. I normally go this direction, and I didn't. I went the other direction. Didn't feel anything that I was supposed to do that. I just said, maybe I should go this way. And as I did, it ended up in a very strong conversation about even having more regional influence. And wouldn't have happened if I had went the other direction. I was thinking, Lord, God, continue to guide my steps, because right now every step is important in what we do for God. We need to be alert. Need to stay ready, because God is wanting to do some really wonderful things. So may we be strong in this season. May we not allow anything to hinder God's move. May we not give the devil a foothold in any area. May we support one another. May we love on one another. May we encourage one another. And may we speak to those spirits, say, you are not welcomed here. You ain't coming in here, so you may as well take off, because we're coming against you, and we're going to destroy you. And that's what we need to do. I believe God has some really great things for our area and for even this church.